From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to From the Pavilion. Lots coming up on today's show. Myself, Ollie Slack, and Callum Guest in the studio. We're also joined by the chairman of Linton Village Cricket Club as well. More from him later on as the Junior Cup final gets underway this weekend. You must be thinking, where's the usual intro music gone? Well, two reasons to celebrate. One, because one person in this studio has got a year older today. It's their birthday. Another person scored 100 on the weekend. I'll leave you to work out which one's which. Lots coming up on today's show. As I say, we'll be rounding up the APL. We'll be talking the Ashes as well. Today is washed out, so no play today at Lords. And also we'll be chatting the T20 Blast as well. And Jamie Seabrook takes on the Who's the Biggest Badger quiz. We gon' celebrate your party with... So welcome to From the Pavilion. Firstly, Callum, how does it feel to be a year older then? No, joking. Congrats on the weekend, mate. It was a pretty good knock from you. 300 odd on the board, and then and bowled Cambridge out pretty cheaply.
Yeah, no, it was a good team performance. Solid openness down between Waxy and Matthew Haig, and I've come in and done the easy work. They'd done the damage early door. So yeah, no, it was nice to come in with a bit of a platform behind me.
Yeah,
go from there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must be a bizarre one, really, I guess, when you've obviously said in here you like to score a few more runs and then suddenly it all clicks after a few weeks off. Can you put your finger on why it happened? Or
I don't know. I suppose, yeah. Been a bit starved over the last month or so with league cricket. And yeah, it was just really about knuckling down and really no excuses, just crack on. And yeah, like I said, it was nice to have a platform to come in and just knock it around for a bit and put a good score on the board and really get the ball rolling again for the lads.
And how did it feel? 4 weeks or so off, were you a bit stiff, a bit rusty again? Obviously you weren't, but how are the lads feeling?
Yeah, no, I think it was just nice to blow a few cobwebs before. We've obviously got a big few fixtures coming up in the next, couple of weeks or so. And really just, Histon are putting up a really good fight at the moment, in second, well, I think they're in third place, but they've got a couple of games in hand on Eton Soken. So it was just nice to, keep that lead at the top of the table, which, we probably deserve to have a slightly wider margin of a lead, having not lost a game or dropped a point all year. So it was just good to get a result on the board for the lads.
Yeah, just update you on the Whitings and Partners leaders of the tables. Whiting Partners 1, Sultan of Abraham, still lead the way, like Callum said there, 314 points. Next closest is Eton Soken with 306, but the teams around them, both Sultan of Abraham and Histon in third, have two games in hand. Histon themselves are on 281 points, so 33 points clear of Sultan of Abraham at the top. In terms of Whiting and Partners 2, St Ives and Warboys still lead the way, and they have been doing for some time now. Likewise with Foxton 2's in Whiting and Partners 3. However, Old Leesians do have a couple of games in hand, I do believe, as well. Moving on to the cup competitions, though, and update you on what happened on the weekend in the lower junior cup. Well, Cottenham took on Comberton in the first semi-final at 10 o'clock, and Comberton won that by 49 runs. The next semi-final was between Sawson and Babraham and Will Burton 2's. Sawson and Babraham 3's won that by 56 runs, which set up a final between Comberton, and Sawson and Babraham 3's, but it was washed out as the heavens opened, and that is due to be played this weekend, this Sunday, as is the Junior Cup final. So the lower Junior Cup final gets underway at 10 o'clock, and the Junior Cup final then, I believe, get underway at 1:30, as it says on the Play Cricket website. Let's talk about the Junior Cup final then. Two teams battling out for the trophy, which Coton First Team won last season. It's Take Cricket Club and Linton Village Cricket Club. And Mark Lyles, the chairman from Linton Village, is joining us in the studio. Mark, how are you doing? You good?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yep.
Good. Looking forward to a big day in the club's calendar.
Yeah, we've not been in a final for a while, so it'd be good to get something on the board and enjoy the day again. So.
Yeah, exactly. And how's it sort of changed your league form at all? Looking at the league table now in Junior 1 South, 8th out of a 10, looks like the cup competition's been a good distraction for you.
Yeah, I mean, we've knocked the holders out, Coton, in the first round, albeit they had a junior team, although a very good junior team, and then a tricky one in into the eye. League form-wise, tough start of the season. We had sort of six of the eight games away from home, so that doesn't help playing on our own track sort of thing. But we take each game and we enjoy it and do our best each week. So we always have a beer afterwards and a laugh. So we'll see what Sunday brings and hopefully make use of what we didn't do last year.
Exactly. And looking at that first round match, it was the actual quarter final against Coton first team, and put 294 on the board and 40 overs, and then by that for 169, a brilliant performance against the holders, like you just said.
Yeah, I mean, I would say we were expecting a tough draw, considering they won it last year. I think they turned up with two or three of their first teamers, the rest were juniors and, you know, second string team sort of thing. But I mean, they bowled well. As you said, obviously, they all had a bowl. A lot of good youngsters, bowled line and length, made it difficult, although Alex Flynn tucked in and got a ton on the day sort of thing. So it was just one of those days we all clicked and got the runs on the board and done the job with the wicket sort of thing. So
yeah, and I want to talk about last year, because if my memory serves me correctly, you probably won't like me talking about this.
No, we were right.
Plunchton Cricket Club in the semi-final. And and it was an incredible game, one of the most bizarre games I've ever been involved in, and remarkable really that I think it was Linton or Blunchen batted first, and they put about 120, was it 140,
yeah,
on the board?
We bowled them all out for something about 120-ish, I think. Again, all clicked on the day.
Yeah.
Sort of went into tea.
Very happy, probably.
Very happy, you know, fairly happy, knowing that we'd sort of got a decent batting lineup, and then
lose a couple of early wickets and
yeah,
the pressure.
A couple of decisions sort of went away early doors, umpiring decision sort of thing. And then we had a Linton collapse, and we're very good at Linton collapses.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, the opening bowlers for Bluntisham were superb as well. But it was just one of those days where it's just a couple of early wickets, like you said, and I guess the pressure of being in a cup semi-final probably took its toll. But a chance to rectify that this year, like you said, I guess that'll probably be playing in the back of your mind when you turn up Sunday.
Yeah, we did. I mean, we learned from that last year. This year's semi-final against NCI, we did something very similar. We got bowled out, I think it was for, 114,
yeah.
Yeah, so it was sort of like, okay, we learned from last year. Bluntisham, as you say, came out last year and turned us over and bowled us out cheaply. We did exactly the same this year and learned from it, sort of thing. So
scorecards look almost identical, as far as I can remember.
It's funny. Remarkable. It's funny how it was on a difficult track as well at Cambridge University Press. So, I mean, even the umpires came out and said anything 120 would be a good score on there. So we knew we were in it, and early wickets again helped, and we came through it sort of thing. So we've gone one better than last year, and hopefully we can go all the way this year sort of thing. But
yeah, hopefully so. And like I say, you come up against Takeley Cricket Club, who actually play in your division, Junior 1 South. So I imagine you probably know them fairly well. You know what you're going to get.
Yeah, we played them over at their place earlier on in the season. And they've got a few, decent bowlers, move it around a bit. But a lot of them also play football as well. So we're not really sure what team we're going to get out or play against sort of thing. So they play quite a high standard of football as well. So, but being a final, you expect them to have their first full team out. So we'll take whatever's in front of us and we'll do our best and do the best we can and sort of thing. So.
Has any players in the squad experienced a cup final before? Obviously the semi-final last year. Has it been a competition you've gone far in
the club's history? There's a few of the senior roles, myself included, used to play in the Walker Cup final way back when it was Walker Cup. We won it 2 years in a row sort of thing. So there's a few that we can sort of lend an ear to, the youngsters, but a lot of them just go out and express themselves and just play their way sort of thing. We don't tell anybody to play any differently. They'll just go out and, play the way they play. So I think if we play any differently, then we're in trouble anyway. So we can get ourselves in enough trouble as it is without telling somebody to play differently sort of thing. So
yeah, 3 games to go in the league as well. Yeah. Obviously, you'd love cup glory on Sunday, but I imagine bread and butter is probably the league. How do you balance that? How do you balance, I guess, the distraction of the cups and trying to continue or try and improve your league form?
We know what we've got to do in the league. We've just got to go and win or get points out of what we can. I mean, the 3 remaining games we've got, I think we've got Takeley and Wilbraham last game of the season, and then we've got Whittlesford this weekend. So hopefully we can get something out of Whittlesford. Takeley will get what we can out of them, and go into Wilbraham hopefully safe, and we can enjoy the last game of the season. And we've always struggled at Wilbraham anyway, so Wilsford again we've struggled at, but you know, we've got a bowling unit that we can hopefully get the points enough to stay up and push on next year, sort of thing. So
yeah, and this is obviously a massive weekend for yourselves, like you said, taking on Whittlesford, who are bottom of junior League One South on the weekend. Then you've got the cup final, so it's a massive weekend. Now imagine, how do you reckon you'll handle the pressure? Do you think you, the club and yourself will be all right?
Yeah, I think we'll probably be all right. I mean, I think that most of the boys that are playing Saturday play Sunday anyway, so we've got a couple out that aren't playing Saturday, but they're coming back Sunday to play on the Sunday, sort of thing. So we know what we've got to do. Everybody knows their role in the team, so we've just got to go out and do our roles in the team. So,
And you feel it could give a real good boost as well for the end of the season in terms of, I guess, a feel-good factor in terms of around the club and back in terms of form going into the, what will be those final two league games?
Yeah, I mean, the feel-good in the fact the club's good anyway. I mean, we all have a laugh. We all stay for a beer and we'll stay with the opposition for a beer afterwards, sort of thing. So there's no worries there as on, you know, people down and, you know, we're in the position we are. But certainly, yeah, cup win, you know, a couple of good wins recently in the league as well has always helped. We've just got a click and we are clicking at the moment. So it's quite good that we've found form, albeit late in the season. and the season's not quite gone as we thought it wanted it to. So obviously we wanted to be pushing for promotion back to senior league cricket and it's not quite gone to plan. So,
but better late than ever.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, you know, it's always good to have a late season burst and, you know, hopefully teams around us coming up to holiday season go the other way, sort of thing. So we'll see what happens on Saturday and Sunday and go from there, sort of thing. So,
yeah, all the best for this weekend. Yeah. And I want to bring Callum as well. What are the feelings like, Callum, going into a big cup final like this? I imagine, probably apart from the World Cup, it probably is the next biggest cup competition in terms of domestically, in terms of the leagues in Cambridgeshire. So how are you thinking about the competition or the final throughout the days in the week leading up to the final?
I suppose you're just playing it as it's pretty standard saying, but you're just playing it as another game of cricket, to be honest. Try not to think about it as a cup final. Obviously, I believe it's at Sawston, so you don't get a good wicket, which is sometimes crucial actually to a cup final, and, you know, will mean that the best team will hopefully win on the day. And there's no like evening it out due to bad wickets or whatnot, so it should be a good game of cricket.
In terms of the wicket, got pretty wet last weekend.
Yeah,
fingers crossed it'll be all right for this weekend.
Yeah, I think they got the covers in. I was there up there Sunday. They got the covers just in time before the big downpours came. But good. Like you said, they did try and get a bowl out and get going on the nets, but it wasn't to be. The thunder and lightning killed that game off. So, well, that was it.
Yeah. Well, as we said, the lower junior cup final will take place this weekend at Spicer's Sports Ground, 10 o'clock. The junior cup final later on in the day, 1:30, and Linton Village opponents will be Takeley Cricket Club. And the secretary, Neil Lemon, joins me on the phone now. Are you there, Neil?
I am, Ollie. Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
No worries. How are you doing? You good?
I'm well, thank you. Yes, really looking forward to the match on Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are the feelings? Nervous, excitement, a bit of both?
A bit of both, really. We're hoping to put out a strong side and hoping to give a good account of ourselves. So yes, we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, how have you gone in the competition so far? Obviously, pretty well. Continue, you got to the final, but a bye in the first in the quarter final, and then defeated Abington 2s in the semis.
We did actually. It was difficult to measure the competition. To be fair, we chased down 203 against Abington, mainly due to an exceptional innings by Joe Pierre. We were 86 not out, and as you say, we were fortunate to get a bye to the semi final. So we've only had the one game so far.
Yeah, and in terms of the league form going with it, it's been a brilliant season for the club, obviously getting to the Junior Cup final, second in Junior League One South. So you've got an opportunity really to create pretty good history for the club in the next few weeks.
We have. You may not know, we moved to the Cambridgeshire League this year. It's our first season in the league, having moved across from the Hearts and Essex League. I have to say we've really enjoyed our season so far. We've been to some excellent grounds, new grounds for a lot of us. We've enjoyed the opposition. The cricket's been competitive and played in the right spirit, which is what we like. We had an excellent start to the season. We've then suffered a bit of dip of form mid-season, mainly due to selection issues with some of our team being good footballers and not being able to play cricket on Saturdays. We've had a couple of injuries. Our skipper, Liam Brown, congratulations to Liam. He got married and he's been away a couple of weeks on honeymoon. But fortunately, we've got most of our team available this Sunday, so we're hoping to, as I say, to give a good account of ourselves. And we're a little way off Chesterfield's in the league, but and actually a little surprised to be in second place with the fact that we've lost five games. But we, as I say, we have very much enjoyed the season so far.
Yeah, and because it is so tight in the league, 41 points, maths not great there, behind Chesterfield's in second, but 3 points clear of Triplow in third. So it is pretty tight for that last promotion spot, which is second place. Obviously a big game, I imagine every big game now with three remaining is going to be big on Saturday and then big on Sunday. How do you find that balance between trying to make sure you get the best result in both?
Well, as I say, it's down to our selection, really. We're a little bit short of bowling on Saturday because two of our key bowlers are also footballers, so they won't be available on Saturday. Chesterfield's, I think, are the strongest side in the league. And looking at the weather early in the week, I was rather hoping we might be able to have a rain-affected match. But it's, obviously, we'd prefer to play. And it's looking as though the weather's now a little bit better and we probably will be able to play on Saturday. So we'll see how we go. And then it may be that the final two games are the ones that decide whether or not we can then make one of those promotion spots.
Yeah, of course, come up against league leaders Chesterfield's on the weekend. And obviously you'd have played Linton Village already this season, down in eighth in the same league. So what did you make of them when they played against your guys?
We beat them quite easily, actually, at our place. But I'm very much expecting a stronger performance from Linton on Sunday. They're a good side. They're mid-table. And we're expecting they'll give a good account of themselves. And we'll no doubt have a good wicket to play on. Some of the wickets have been indifferent this year, mainly because of the weather. It's been difficult. I assist the groundsman that takes it. It's been very difficult preparing wickets some weeks. And this week's no different to that.
Yeah, you mentioned you came over from the Hearts and Essex Cricket League as well. Have you been involved in any sort of cup finals before in that region, in those divisions?
We have, actually. We were actually won the Davis Cup this year, which is a T20 midweek competition, which is a village competition for teams in Hertfordshire and Essex. And we were fortunate enough to win that, beating Farnham in the final. We also won our League Cup, also a 2020 competition, in 2017. And those were our first two wins for some years, actually. So we've come into form at the right time, I think.
Pretty well rehearsed, it sounds. And then just finally, if you could, Neil, what would it mean for the club to lift the Junior Cup this weekend?
It will be fantastic for our first season in the Cambridgeshire League and testament to the decision to move, I think. We're really pleased with our move so far. In fact, we're looking at possibly asking for our second team to come into the league as well next year. So it would be great to win the cup, and it would really put the icing on the cake for a really great season for us.
Brilliant. Well, it's great to hear you're enjoying the Cambridgeshire League so much, especially when there has been a season where so many sides have sort of faltered and struggled to get sides. It's great to hear, Neil, and thank you very much for coming on the show, and wish you all the best for Sunday.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ollie, and also thanks to Linton, and look forward to a great game, and best of luck to them on Sunday as well. Thank you.
No worries. Cheers, Neil. Neil Lemon there, who's secretary of Takeley Cricket Club. Just for the details rounding up that then, Takeley Cricket Club take on Linton Village Cricket Club, both the first teams, Sunday the 18th of August, 1:30 start after the final of the Lower Junior Cup. Finals day, final of the finals day, this Sunday. So make sure you get down to Sawston to watch that. Callum, will you be heading over to watch it?
I'm actually travelling up to Newcastle to play Northumberland, on the Saturday
fair excuse,
night.
Fair excuse.
So yeah, I won't be there, but I'll be sending my luck to the lads from Northumberland.
Yeah, of course. And just talk a bit about Sawston Freeze last week, obviously, because a weird situation where they're having to, in usual circumstances, would be semi-final stage, so semi-final and final, but it's been split. So they just played their semi-final last week and they got the finals this week.
Yeah, I think they got a similar team out, so it should be good. And hopefully Comberton, I believe they put in a really good performance in their semi-final, so hopefully they can put out their best team as well. And it should be a really good start to the day.
Brilliant. Well, after this break, we'll have a bit of music and then we'll be speaking to APL Cambridge Cricket Club skipper Lewis Hill.
Listen to us on your smart speaker. Just ask it to play Cambridge 105 Radio. From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Listen to From the Pavilion here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Myself and Callum Guest in the studio this hour. We've got Mark Lyles from Linton Village Cricket Club. We'll talk to him a bit later on about England and the T20 Blast as well. But it's time to turn our attention to the EAPL now. And joining us on the phone first is Cambridge Cricket Club skipper Lewis Hill. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing? You good?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Good. A pretty good win for your boys on the weekend. Two on the bounce, I think, for the first time this season as well, beating Mildenhall. 224 you scored, chasing down 221 Mildenhall for eight. So a comprehensive victory for you guys.
Yeah, it's always, like I say, I think it may well be the first time this year we've had back-to-back wins, which obviously is nice, so hopefully we can keep that momentum going. But no, really good performance from the lads all round. I think, you know, the conditions were definitely tricky at the weekend with the high speed winds, but I think we did really well to restrict them to 220 considering the start they got. They were probably 150 for none off about 35, and I think the last sort of 10-15 they only scored, you know, 65-70 runs for eight. So it was really, really impressive with the ball in the closing stages, and then to chase it down, you know, I think 4.5-5 overs to spare was really pleasing.
Right, Lewis Guestie, obviously you're back to the win-lose format for the rest of the year. It looks like, and spoken to Youngie and Alex Sears early on in the week, it looks like this favours the balance of your side. Do you feel that's definitely the case?
Yeah, I think it does suit the team. We definitely probably prefer these types of formats and these games where, you know, a result is sort of forced, if you like. You know, there's always going to be a result. So, yeah, the balance of the team probably does suit this. We've got a number of sort of all-rounders, which gives us a lot of options, whether it comes to the batting or the bowling. So, you know, different days, we can use all the tools that we've got, which, yeah, this definitely does suit.
I suppose it was one of those as well. It meant that Mildenhall, obviously, they've done quite well in the time format where they could bowl only a couple of bowlers, and actually it meant that they had to find that extra bowler from somewhere, and it looked like Peter Younghusband in particular capitalised on that.
Yeah, so it was definitely something we sort of discussed and sort of noticed throughout their sort of bowling period. We sort of realised that they were going to have to find a fifth bowler. They didn't necessarily have five out-and-out bowlers in the team, so it's sort of just biding our time and understanding the pace of the game and knowing that the target we had to chase, we could, you know, like you say, target those maybe that weren't out-and-out bowlers, and that really suited us on the day.
Mm-hmm. You obviously entertain Copdock this weekend. They're only two places above yourselves at the moment. So where would you say their strengths are as a side, and how are you going to look to nullify these and, you know, capitalise?
Yeah, so I think their strength is, again, I think all teams have different... I don't think you could single it down to single players. They've got, you know, Premier League sides have always got a number of players that can win games, but I would say their strength probably lies in more in their bowling. And they've got a handful of batsmen which are obviously deadly, such as, you know, Ben Claydon, who sort of moved on from us last year and has gone to open the batting for those guys. So we won't take anything for granted on the weekend. We'll look to continue our form and nullify every player in a certain way. And, yeah, we'll put some plans in place that are, you know, specific to those guys and those players, that, so we can give ourselves the best chance of continuing this win streak, hopefully.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the aim probably for the club at the moment, isn't it? Just to get as many wins on the board and, you know, get the bragging rights in the area and finish highest.
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, we want to finish as high as possible. I guess you could probably look at it as a lot of these games for a lot of the teams are, you know, what are labelled nothing games. But for us, it's a case of we want to show what we're all about. And, you know, we've definitely got some results that we want to sort of turn around from the first games of the season we played against a lot of clubs. So we want to show that we are a team that can compete in this league. And, yeah, we'll be definitely trying to continue the winning streak and finish as hard as possible.
Top man, thank you very much for joining us, and good luck at the weekend, mate.
Cheers, Gusty.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Talking to Burnley Lexington's Jamie Seabrook now on the phone, continue our EAPL roundup. Are you there, Jamie?
Hi, Ollie.
How you doing, mate? You good?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. We're going to talk to you a bit about Burnley Lexington before we quiz you on your cricketing knowledge. Are you ready for that?
I am ready. I'll beat the brother.
Yeah, of course.
It's badly wrong.
Yeah, it shouldn't be hard to beat him, really. You can declare after one answer if you like. But anyway, the questions on Burnley Action to start with. Played up against Horsford on the weekend. Unfortunately, a loss for you guys. Horsford got 265 for 6 off 50 overs. Burnley Exeter yourselves were 129 all out in 36 overs. So obviously a disappointing result. How do you sum up the performance?
I think it was one of those days where, Lewis said, weather was really weird, very windy. We actually won the toss and chose to bowl, thinking of knowing how that wicket plays usually turns from the start. So we thought we could get a few early wickets. But in the end, the Hillsborough boys, number 3 and 4, batted really well together, putting a good sort of platform for the rest of the guys to come in and score. I think for them, as soon as they got to 250, they were quite happy with that one.
Was it one of those, Jamie, where you just felt like at the halfway stage, 265 was too many, or did you still back your chances?
I think we backed our chances as long as we kept our wickets in hand, because they did that perfectly. They went at threes, fours for the first 20, 25 overs and then slowly picked it up, and round singles very well. So it's one of those, as soon as we started losing early wickets, it was a little bit hard to come back from. A few silly dismissals, a few silly run outs, things like that didn't help us, but it's a bit unfortunate.
Obviously, you got a tough game this weekend at home to the league leader, Swarston. Having spoken to Tet early on the season, he believes that actually, you'll probably stick with your guns in this win-lose format and potentially chase, especially at home. Obviously, you back yourselves to chase, any target, really. So would you reckon that's going to be the case?
I think, if you look at our batting lineup on paper, you've got an out-and-out batting 8 this week again, which is the same as last week. I batted 8, personally. Do back our batting lineup. It's not really firing right now, but hopefully we will come good. We are due a good team performance, so we shall have to wait and see.
Yeah, and obviously it's very tight in the middle of that table at the moment, so I suppose the club's aim is same as Cambridge and Lewis, what you just said, is to probably just get as many wins as you can as possible and get claim the bragging rights in the area.
No, definitely. We learned from last year. The last game of the season came down to losing, and I think we finished 9th versus 6th. It's one of those that goes right down to the end of the year. Right now we're down there, but a few wins back to back, we'll be at probably about 5th, 6th. So just how the middle order of the league works, really.
Thanks very much. I believe Mr. Slack has the quiz ready for you, so good luck with that, and good luck at the weekend, mate.
The easy bit's out of the way, Jamie.
Okay.
How is your cricketing knowledge? Do you think it's decent?
It's okay. I'd hope you're better than Ben.
Well, like I said earlier, not too difficult. But basically, I think there's... I'm looking at the table. I think there's about 3 or 4 guys with a score at the minute. Dan Eve's top with 30. But the top 4 come back at the end of the season for like a playoff. So really, you only need to get into the top 4, which is probably about, a score, really. A score will do.
Okay.
So, we'll ask you some questions, and you'll get 1 minute to answer those questions. And many answers you get right, you'll have a chance to double that total in a top 10 table. And we'll reveal that the top 10 table after we've asked you the 1 minute round questions. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense.
There you go. That's the fact. Actually, to be fair, it was the best I've explained it all season, and we're almost at the end of August. Right. I've got the stopwatch calendar. Are you going to keep count of his score?
Yes, mate. No problem.
Cool. I'm glad to have you back. I was a nightmare the week before. Jamie, let me know whenever you're ready, and I'll fire away the questions.
I'm ready.
Cool. So your time starts now. Who has scored the most runs in the club for Burnley Exeter this season?
Tom Jaggart.
Correct. New Sky Sports documentary titled Story of a Genius focuses on which former England batsman?
Kevin Beatson.
Correct. What is the distance between the stumps and the pop increase?
1 metre.
Unlucky. 1.22 metre. Who has taken the most wickets for Burnley Exeter Cricket Club this season?
Sam Riffington.
Correct. Which current member of the England Ashes squad has scored the most test runs at Lord's?
Joe Root.
Correct. Who scored the most runs in the Vitality Blast this season?
Tom Banton.
Unlucky. Babar Azam. Once someone is given out, within how many minutes must the incoming batsman be ready to face the next ball?
2 minutes.
3 minutes. Unlucky. Who has taken the most fielding wickets, so catching or catch or run outs for Burnley Exeter this season? In the club.
Oh, in the club. Tet. Joe Tetley.
Simon Hudson, unfortunately. So fielding wickets not included in terms of behind the stumps, fortunately. So Simon Hudson, Bern Lexing taking, I believe, around about 10 when I looked at the stats earlier. So, Callum, how did he do? That's your minute up.
He got four right.
Four right. Happy with that, Jamie?
Started well. Didn't finish very well.
Did start well. Tom Jack, Kevin Peterson, Sam Richardson, Joe Root. And then Babrazan was close. Tom Banton is second in the list. Tom Banton, you said, and Babrazan is top. And then obviously very close to the Timmins in 3 minutes. And sort of close with Joe Tetley as well. Right, your top 10 table then is most Ashes wickets of players to have played in the 21st century. So we did this last week with run scorers. Obviously, it'd be very difficult to ask you for the most wickets in the Ashes, considering most of the top 10, to be fair, played in about the 19th century. So we don't expect your knowledge to date about that far. So any player who has ever played a game in the 21st century counts in this list, and it's their wickets across their whole career in the Ashes.
Okay.
So most Ashes wickets of players to have played at least one game in the 21st century. So,
okay.
And just clarify the rules as well. If you get an answer wrong, you lose all your points, but you can declare as well at a certain point as well. So say you get four right, you can declare, and that'll be 16 points.
Sure.
Understand?
Yes, I do.
Good, because I'm not sure anyone else does. So, right, whenever you're ready, give us your first answer.
Glenn McGrath.
Correct, second on the list, 157, 1994 to 2007.
Okay. Shane Warne.
He's top of the list, 195 wickets in the Ashes, 93 to 2007. So, 8 points so far. You can declare, just making you aware.
Mitchell Johnson.
That's correct. 2009 to 2015 in the Ashes, 87 wickets. Three right, 12 points. You can declare.
Yeah, I'll declare that.
You declaring?
Yes.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Final answer?
Yes, final answer.
Okay, I don't know whether to press the clapping sound effect or not. Now, well done, Jamie. Very good, mate. That is 12 points. 12 points for you there. If you had a chance of, like, a freebie, who else would you have gone for?
Andrew Flintoff.
Oh, thank God. You
God
declared.
You
thank God you declared.
Him, Harmison, Hoggart.
None of them.
No. Just stop there, Jamie. Take the 12 and move on. I'll read out the list to you. Shane Warne, top of the list, 93, 2,795 wickets. Glenn McGrath, 94, 2,757. Callum Abanka next, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Anderson, 2006 to present, 104 wickets. Stuart Broad, 2009 to present, 101 wickets. Mitchell Johnson, you said, 87 wickets from 09 to 2015. Peter Siddle, 2009 to present, 75 wickets. Another man still in the Australian attack, Nathan Lyon, 2013 to present, 74. Darren Goff, 94 to 2001, just squeaking in there, playing 1 year in the 21st century or a couple of years, 74 wickets too. Jason Gillespie, 97 to 2005, 65 wickets. And big old Andy Carrick is 10th on the list, 93 to 2003, 64 wickets. Callum, what do you reckon?
To be honest, I thought you were going to go for it, Jamie, so I'm a little bit disappointed with that. But I did also think that Brett Lee might have snuck in. I'm surprised Brett Lee hasn't snuck in there, to be honest.
Brett Lee wasn't on the list, but... what do you reckon now you've heard the list, Jamie?
Yeah, the England couple are obvious, but I want to be Ben. I had to be Ben. There's no sort of sibling losing there.
Okay. All right. Well, I can confirm you did beat Ben. And I don't think Ben actually got one right in the 1 minute round as well, but obviously won't bring that up. But yeah, I'll look at the permutations when I get home and have nothing else to do and decide and see if you're coming back in the top four for the end of the season. But congratulations once again.
Thank you.
See you later. All the best, Saturday.
See you later. Cheers, bye.
Jamie Seabrook there. Bern Lexing player who scored 12 in Who's the Biggest Badger Quiz. I'm delighted we've got a score on the board. But Callum, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think he probably could have gone for the England ones, couldn't he? But yeah. I think it was that sibling rivalry. So he takes the victory there. Yeah. Happy man.
Surprised at the likes of the guys who are still in the side, the present, Peter Siddle and Nathan Lyon?
Yeah, I think probably goes under the radar a little bit. I think he done well in that 2009 Ashes. If I remember at Cardiff, he was... A pretty handy bowler. Nathan Lyon just destroys us every time we go to Australia, doesn't he, really?
Yeah.
We've had two tours there and he, you know, gets out of middle order, just goes through the middle and tail end.
Yeah, well, we'll talk probably a bit about Nathan Lyon in the final chat of the show about the Ashes after this ad break and then some music as well.
Cambridge.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
You are listening to From the Pavilion with myself, Callum Guest, and Ollie Slack in the studio. I believe Ben Harris from Saffron and Waldis joins us on the phone after they lost to league leaders Frinton and Sea at the weekend. Right, Ben?
Evening, Guesty. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Difficult day out on the weekend, losing to a strong Frinton side. You just conceded a bit too many runs, obviously, chasing 329 at the halfway stage. Probably looks quite far-fetched.
Yeah, it was a tough day out. I think it was kind of, it showed to us, you know, why they're top of the table. Obviously, they've got some fantastic players there. None less than Adam Wheater, who, you know, kind of showed the gulf in class between Premier League cricket and first class cricket. You know, an effortless and chanceless 100, I think it was 120 or 118 or something, really set the game up for them to get a big total. And, you know, we were kind of on a quite an untypical dry Walden wicket, which spun quite a bit. You know, they've got two very good left arm spinners as well, turning it away from most of our right handers. So there's always going to be a tough total to chase. So, yeah, tough day.
I suppose it's one of those that you've got quite a young team, and obviously your first season in the Prem, or back in the Prem, I suppose it's one of those you hope that you your team can learn from and, you know, take forward.
Exactly. I said that afterwards, you know, I was like, no one's expected us to probably beat any of the top three teams. When I say top three, I'd probably class Sudbury, Swordston and Frinton in the top three. And the fact that we've already beaten Swordston this year is kind of, you know, that's big for us. We're obviously going to stay up by the looks of it, the way the league's gone. And I was having a look at it, actually. And I think, you know, 25 points off Sook. We're currently in eighth. If we could finish sixth, I think that'd be a seriously good season. And I think with five games to go, that's probably quite an achievable aim.
Yeah, I was just going to say that obviously you're away to the reigning champions, which is Sudbury, which look like they're going to finish, you know, in that top three again this season. Obviously, is it about, you know, we spoke to Jamie and Lewis previously, is it about just getting as many wins as possible for the rest of the season and trying to finish, you know, in that top six or the sixth?
Yeah, it is, but, you know, not where you finish is irrelevant, but we've got a lot of young players that I'd probably look to change up a little bit and give them a little bit more exposure. Probably not this weekend, but going into the last four games, you know, Nikhil Grantler, Harry Gallion, and a couple of other kids we've got, not kids, but, you know, 18, 19-year-old lads that, you know, probably are the future of the club. And, you know, when there's not a lot to play for in the sense of, you know, you're not going down, you're not going to win the league, it's probably a really good time for them to learn. Otherwise, they'll never learn. So probably look to do that. But obviously, we want to win as many games as we can, and get as much points as we can.
Now, obviously, I think that's a fantastic approach to take and, you know, one that many clubs could probably also aspire to do as well. So, yeah, good luck for this weekend and for the rest of the season, mate.
No, cheers, Cal.
Top man.
Ben Harris there talking here on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm from the Pavilion, Saffron Walden skipper, and up against Sudbury on the weekend. Unfortunately, lost to Frinton on Sea last Saturday. Moving on then, and we're talking about the Ashes and England and the T20 Blast after this.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Yeah, so England, of course, were meant to be playing in the Ashes today, second test against Australia at Lords, but washed out. So let's do a little review then of the first test. Didn't get a chance to talk much last week. Callum and Mark, bring you back into the conversation. It was a disappointing defeat, really, last week. Not, I guess, just because more the manner of it than anything else, losing by 251 runs. And England, I guess, showing again, which they have over the years in terms of performances against India and South Africa when they've lost the odd in home conditions, they really haven't put up a fight and had that sort of over my dead body approach to their wicket.
Yeah, it's almost like history repeating itself. If I remember rightly, the last home series we started off pretty similar at Lords, and Steve Smith scored big runs there. If I remember rightly, we put us on a bit of a dead wicket at Lords as well to kind of nullify the pace of Mitchell Johnson. But what it did mean was that obviously they get to bat on it as well, and it meant that Steve Smith could cash in, and obviously with them batting first meant that Nathan Lyon could really take, you know, have a bit of fun on day five.
Yeah, and you said history repeating itself. I've done my research in the anger of last week's loss, right, because I don't have much else to really back up what I say apart from statistics. So I've done some statistics research, actually, and in the last 13 tests, so before this second test, England have used 21 players. Their average score is 267. Which obviously doesn't sound a lot in terms of over the years, when obviously they're going to be favourable in home conditions and away tours to Sri Lanka and West Indies in there as well. Why do you think then they have stuck with the likes of the Johnny Bairstow's, the Moen Alleys. Obviously, Moen has been dropped now, but Bairstow has obviously still in the side. And it has been the likes of the Folkses, the Currans, some of your less regular guys have sort of come and gone, and not the guys that have been there throughout most of those, majority of those 13 tests, the likes of Bairstow, Stokes, Butler's, Roots. Why have they been the guys that have stuck around?
I don't know if their white ball image and the way they play their white ball cricket has kind of clouded their test form. I think that probably has got a bit to say for itself. I think you're right, obviously. You've got a bit of a issue with Bairstow, haven't you? But no, he's not scoring the runs at the moment, but I spoke off air to you and just said it's almost one of those things. It's the first test match of a big series. It does look like panic stations if you end up, obviously, Anderson's an enforced change. Moeen didn't look threatening, so he has to go. You know, if you then decide to drop Bairstow and potentially Denley, you've made four changes after one test match, and it does look like you're hitting the panic button a bit too soon. And obviously, that will only help Australia's confidence if that does happen. So I think what they'll try and do is almost filter them out one or two at a time.
Mm.
Obviously, Anderson doesn't... We're not sure on the extent of the injury, but it doesn't look like he's going to play too much part of the series. So obviously, the bowling attack is weakened, but with the Archer coming in...
Mm.
I think personally what they want to do is they don't want to be bowling Stokes as many overs as what he did in the last test match. They'd probably look to boost him up to four, potentially drop Denley for Curran. I think that probably will be the news tomorrow.
Mm.
And obviously Leach comes in for Moeen.
Yeah, and obviously I guess the alternative, I understand what you're saying in terms of panic station, but I guess the alternative is Bairstow comes in to score six again and England are, you know, collapsing a little bit. But we seem to be having the same conversations every time, though, about England in terms of this batting situation. And then I guess, say they did put Stokes up to four, it just seems, again, they'll be shoehorning a player who, in theory, probably isn't a number four into that position type thing. How do you see it, Mike? How do you see the current predicament with England?
Well, I think they're probably just giving them a boost of confidence. And, you know, with Bairstow not scoring runs, they're giving him another chance. You know, go out and prove yourself on a Lord's pitch. Foul, you're out. You know, it's got to happen. We can't keep carrying players that aren't scoring runs. Yeah, it's probably panic stations, but you know, you don't do a good job at work, you're out. Ain't you? You know, it's that sort of situation. But we've just got to find a top four.
Mm. Yeah,
we've not found a top four that scores runs regularly.
The other way of looking at it as well. I think England will get the groundsman to learn from the mistakes, and I'm not sure they're going to play on a flatter wicket or you know, as batter-friendly wicket as they did. And obviously they were in a fantastic position after day one and two.
Mm.
I think a few of them could be kicking themselves at the end of the series when they actually realise how good a wicket, because we're going to need it to suit the bowlers more. It's going it's going to come down to who scores, and it looks like Steve Smith's in incredible form. So there's only one way of getting him out, and that's putting him on a wicket that's going to do a bit more for the seamers.
Yeah, I'd come on Steve Smith in just a bit. I guess the only other point to my argument was, I guess you have someone coming from the county championship who is in incredible form and sky high confidence, that might be better than someone like Bairstow. But equally, we've said before, every time you bring someone in from the county championship, they do well to start with, and then in seven test time, people are asking about their place in the side. You do a bit of coaching, obviously, in the local area. Would you ever coach a kid to bat like Steve Smith?
It's very difficult, isn't it?
Sorry, you got 3 minutes. As well.
I've only got 3 minutes to answer.
Yeah. Well, 2 minutes, I need to wrap up. So.
You've got a natural ability has got to take over somewhere. In answer to your question, probably no. And I'm not sure there would be many coaches that would stick their hands up and say, yes, I would coach him like that. But the guy's a bit of a freak, isn't he? He's an incredible player.
Because there's lots of talk today about, obviously, finding what's natural to you. And if he's hitting boundaries every ball and scoring runs like he is, don't change it. But say, for example, I wouldn't say Steve Smith's going to go for a bad run of form, but say someone who's batting and a similar technique to him has a bad patch of form, at what point do you then change it and say, OK, it's done you well for this amount of time, but now we need to start looking at...
Well, he's averaging what the average is.
No, I'm not talking about Steve Smith, in that sort of case example.
Yeah, it's one of those, I think he's gone through patches, obviously, in his career. As your example, he's gone through patches in his career, and what he's done is actually just knuckled down a bit. I know he went through stages where he almost left every single ball outside the off stump because he was nicking off consistently.
Mm.
And it was almost like he got into a stage where people would then bowl straight to him trying to hit him on the pads. And that's his bread and butter.
Yeah.
And then obviously he's developed from there to play more offside as well, which is now just, you know, it's a puzzle. But in terms of what you said in the coaching front, what you do look for is you're definitely looking for players to know their strengths and weaknesses, and you're going to actually, instead of working on the weaknesses, you work on the strengths to start with. Mm. Obviously, if they got a favourable shot, they'll like playing, which is normally the hit to cow corner. You know, you work with that, and then you go from there, and then you bring in the defensive stuff. But the one thing you'd want to do with a youngster is not to put them off playing aggressive shots, because ultimately, as a batter, you're there to score runs. You're not there to survive.
Yeah, and 30 seconds. We'll talk more about the Blast next week when it gets to the crunch stages of the groups. But Mark, who's impressed you in the North and South group so far?
We went to Middlesex a couple of weeks ago, and Kent looked fairly sharp. Mm. Obviously they were unbeaten at the time as well. So Kent looked quite sharp in that. Sussex doing well as well. So it's a pretty good season so far for them all. So
yeah, and Cam, 20 seconds. Crowds are pretty good as well, aren't they?
Definitely, crowds are big. But what I would say, and then top three, and both North and the South, the key with them is explosive batting and pace as well. Yeah. All of them have got quick bowlers. Mm. You know, look around, and I think that's been crucial. I saw Stephen Finn the other day at Lords, you know, basically bump out Surrey and by himself. Mm. And it was, you know, it's key to winning games of 2020 cricket by the looks of it.
Yep, certainly so. Thank you, Callum. Thank you, Mark, for coming on today.
Yeah.
From the Pavilion on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Is wrapping up today's show. Yes, sorry, we're dreadful in that game as well. And make sure you tune in once again next week here on Cambridge 105 Radio, and download the podcast as well. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
Cambridge 105 Radio.